But that's what we celebrate today. What we just witnessed between a mother and a daughter. We celebrate mom today to the glory of God. That's what Mother's Day is for, to take time to celebrate something so special, something so precious, and I will add to that something so incredibly dignified. Now, I have asked that we make an exception with the kids and leave them in here with us today. I know that they're going to be a little bit of a distraction. They get fidgety. But you know what? That's the life of a mom. Right? In real life, there is no ETC. Is there?
No. Grandma.
Grandma. And thank God for Grandma. But what we hold in here with us today is your fruit. If you're a mom in here today, whether you're mom right now or you moved on to be Grandma, what we see around us in these children is your fruit. Each of us is the fruit of a mother's womb. So if we celebrate motherhood, then we have to celebrate our children at the same time. And that's why I thought it appropriate for us to be in here all together with our children. And take this time to focus in on mom with them with us. You know, motherhood has been under attack heavily in the last century. One woman writes this, and I hope you'll listen to what she says very carefully. Of all the attacks launched against motherhood ever since the world began, the most fierce have occurred in this century. The modern movement for the liberation of women has led many women to believe that motherhood is an obstacle to their personal fulfillment. D. James Kennedy, who has now gone on to be with the Lord, he wrote this: "The traditional role of wife and mother has undergone intense attack in the last 40 years, a frontal assault unequaled in world history. The late Betty Friedan told a generation of women in her book, The Feminine Mystique, that the family is an oppressive institution. According to Friedan, traditional notions of family were burying, quote, burying millions of American women alive. The hand that rocks the cradle must be terribly untalented, the feminists say. Or otherwise, women would find something more productive to do with their lives. After all, it takes a village to raise a child, according to former First Lady Hillary Clinton. So entrust your little ones to state schools and organizations. They know better what is best for your children." And we have a different message. Our message back to the world is there is nothing more that a woman can be than mom.
Amen.
Does that mean that mom never will do anything else? No. Listen to what I said. There is nothing more that a woman can be than mom. There is nothing that rises above that. There is nothing more valuable that you can be to another human being than mom. That cannot be surpassed. I want to hold up to you today, and I want to hold you up today in the dignity of motherhood. I want to hold up the dignity of mom. Mom, you have more dignity in your motherhood than you could ever have in business, in politics, or in royalty. Not dignity given to you by man, but dignity given to you by your Creator, by God Himself. That cannot be surpassed. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. As we look to what God has said about the dignity He has given to mom. We're not going to read one passage in its entirety. We're going to look at a few verses sprinkled throughout Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4. Just a handful of verses. And we're going to take them one set at a time as I make the points that I want to show you today in God's Word about mom, about woman in general, and the dignity that He gave her at her creation. I want you to see this in God's Word, and I hope you will listen beyond any politically correct rhetoric that we hear on the radio and on the TV. I hope you will do your best, ladies, to listen with a freshly opened mind to God's perspective on you as a woman and a mother. As a woman, wife, and a mom. Okay? That's what we're going to see today. And I want to start with Genesis 1, 26, going through 28. And the first thing we're going to see is the high calling of mom. Number one, her high calling. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'll bless now the reading and the preaching of Your Word. As we give our attention to these Scriptures, we ultimately give our attention to You, Father. I do not ask it for myself. I pray it only for You. Father, show us what You have put in this Holy Writ for us to understand about woman and about mom today. In Christ's name we ask it and thank You for it. Amen. Have lots of babies and take over the world. Can I better sum up what we just read? God blessed them and told them to do what? Reproduce. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over everything in creation. What is He saying? Have lots of babies and take over the planet. It's been well said, the hand that rules the world is what? Is the hand that rocks the cradle. Have babies and take over the world. This was the charge. And I encourage you to take your own time and go dig into the Scriptures and read all through the creation account, and you will find this was the only charge He gave to Adam and Eve. This was the charge He gave them. As perfect Creator, speaking to perfect creation, this was before the fall, sin was not in the picture. It was His perfect environment with His perfect people, and He says to them, "Reproduce and rule." That was His charge. I shudder, and I've heard it many times, especially the younger women, say this: "I do not want to be just a baby factory." Listen, I understand the sentiment behind that statement, but I understand what they don't understand. They don't understand this high calling. They don't understand what was going on here. This was God calling Adam and Eve to make one thing on planet Earth, the only thing on planet Earth, that is not going to be ultimately destroyed. There is only one thing being made in the world right now that will last forever. Do you realize what it is? Peter tells us in his second book, people willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth existed out of water and through water by the word of God. Through these, the world at that time, speaking of the flood, perished when it was flooded by water. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are held in store for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The day of the Lord will come like a thief on that day. The heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. The heavens will be on fire and be dissolved, and the elements will melt with their heat. There's only one thing on planet Earth that is going to remain after that happens. All the gold jewelry, gone. All the diamonds, gone. All the luxury liners and luxury vehicles, gone. All the massive corporations standing so tall and proud in our cities today, gone. All the high-tech submarines and high-tech destroyers, all the high-tech military weaponry, gone. Every single magnificent thing that man has been able to construct and build and put together with his hands will be gone. There is only one God-ordained factory on the planet producing the most complex, highest functioning, and longest lasting product out of everything in existence. The factory is the mother's womb, and the product is a baby. That's it. Every single mom, every mother can stand and look every other professional in the face and say, "Oh, you build that? Well, I build human beings and they last forever." That's the truth. You build human beings and they last forever. You are the single God-ordained instrument for making the one thing He has made to live for eternity. Do you realize that? Now, you can't do it without us. Okay?
Had to throw it in.
But the point is, you do it in a way we never can. All you have to have is an added ingredient. The rest of the work goes on in you. That's by God's design. You build the one thing that will last forever. And that's a human being. I also see the high value of women, because this is going to build the high value of mom. Verse 31 in chapter 1. God saw all that He had made. And it was what?
Good.
No.
Very good.
Thank you. Very good. Okay, go read the creation account. How does it end every other creation day? God saw that it was good. How does it end the sixth day? God saw that it was very good. What changed? Yes, He made humanity. Yes, He made Adam and Eve. But who did He make last?
Eve.
It was not finished until she was finished. Do you understand that? Her high value is seen in God's declaration after her creation and her merging to her husband. Now, it's not just good, it's very good. That leads us to the next point I want to show, because it pairs up with what we see next. And that is the special design of mom. Verse 18 of chapter 2. Ladies, you are specially and uniquely designed. Verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is like him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground each wild animal and each bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. Here was the point God was driving home for him. But for the man, no helper was found who was like him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame." Now, what you have to understand about the Hebrew text is there is a word used in verse 21 where it says, in my translation, made the rib he had taken from the man. Another translation might say fashioned the rib. The Hebrew word used to describe what God did in making Eve is used of crafting something of intricate design and high value. That's what the Hebrew word was used for in the time it was written. It's not the same word, listen to me, it is not the same word used to describe God making Adam and the animals. It's a completely different and distinct word. Let me try to illustrate the difference. It's the difference between framing a wall and crafting a fine piece of furniture. Okay? It's the difference between making a metal plate, like the military uses, or crafting a fine piece of china. The difference between the language used in God's creation of the animals and of Adam is the difference in that between what He says of them and what He says here in how He made Eve. It is specifically intended to communicate to us that somehow God's creation of Eve was unique and special and distinct from His creation of Adam and the animals. Still human, in every way, equal with Adam in her value before God, but different by her design. Ladies, the sexes are not the same. We're not the same. Your body and your mind, this is not just opinion. This is scientific fact based on the creation. Your body and your mind, your entire system is intricate, delicate, and sensitive in a way that man's is not. You're still human, but you are different. There's an intricacy there, a delicacy there, a sensitivity there that is boggling to the mind when studied up close. We see why in the creation account. You have to realize that what God has put down in His Word here is that He handcrafted you. He handcrafted Eve. That's what's being communicated. It was a special formation by the hand of God, and He had a purpose in it. It wasn't just to give Adam a helpmate. It was to give him a helpmate in propagating the human race. You are intricately, specifically, specially, delicately designed for the production of another human being. That's the purpose. You are made the way you are to extend God's creation of another human being. And it extends beyond what happens biologically because it extends into the development of the human being even after he or she is born. Angie stepped up here to give honor to her mom for a lifetime of that. That's the point I'm driving at. That does not happen by accident. It happened by the design of your Creator. You have been uniquely made and gifted for what you do. And God did it on purpose. And all the politically correct sciences and social studies cannot change that fact. You're different because you're supposed to be. And it's a good difference. Okay? We go on to see that there is God's grace in the real difficulty of being mom, because we all know it's no walk in the park. There's an unfortunate reason for that, but we see God's grace in spite of it. If you'll turn with me to chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15, this is God speaking to Satan. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. He said to the woman, I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children in anguish. The consequences of the first woman's sins were real and continue today. There's no getting around that. That was God's clear word to her. However, what did God do to demonstrate His grace even in the light of His judgment? Number one, He preserved the human race through her. He could have said, because of your sin, no longer will you be mother of all the living, as we see He states here in a minute. He said to her, I will intensify your labor pains. You will still bear children, even though it will be in your anguish. God preserved the human race through her motherhood, and He continues to preserve it through yours today. That's an act of His grace. Even in the difficulty, we see that grace. And more than that, this, because the biblical account builds on this, more than the grace of motherhood, He gave us the grace of redemption through her womb. Because He told her, He told Satan, I will send one who will crush your head, and he will be her seed. More than simply preserving the human race, God graciously foretold and sent redemption through the womb of a woman. That's why we celebrate the virgin birth. The coming of the Savior, the coming of the Redeemer, the coming of Christ Himself had nothing to do with the Father and everything to do with the Mother. She was the product of the womb. He was a product of the womb. Can you imagine Mary being caught up in the feminist movement? I don't have time to have the Messiah. When we celebrate Mother's Day, we celebrate the very channel through which we have salvation. Could God not have figured out some other way than to send the Messiah Himself through the virgin womb of a 15 or 16 year old girl? He chose that in His grace. And what you have to understand is that gives you your identity. Go to verse 20. Where it says, after God handed down His judgment, in verse 20, Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. This wasn't degradation, ladies. This was him expressing her highly dignified identity after hearing from God, "I will crush the head of Satan through her seed." Even in spite of the pain and the anguish, she will still bear children. This was a highly dignified moment for Adam to stand face to face with his wife and call her Eve, not because she was his wife, but because she was mother of all the living. That's what's being expressed here. This was a high honor. Anytime a name was given in Scripture, it symbolizes something special and something momentous. Adam's wife now stood before him as the way, the mother of all living, through which God would keep His promise of sending the Savior into the world. Listen to me. Having given birth to sin in the world, she would now give birth to salvation. She would now open up with the opening of her womb the very channel of salvation. The very birthing of her children symbolized the spiritual rebirth necessary for salvation. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3:3. Somebody has to be what to enter the kingdom of heaven? Reborn. And what did he follow that up with? Somebody can't just be born of the water. They have to be born of the Spirit. The very act of giving birth is a living symbol of what God does in birthing a new person into new life with Him. Do you see how he's lifting that up? In realizing that, Adam stands his wife up in front of him and doesn't come up with a name for wife, he comes up with a name for mother. She is Eve, because she is mother of all the living. Not just physically, but spiritually. When we are in heaven, we will not just meet our human mother, we will meet our spiritual mother. Because through her came our Redeemer. And what you have done in giving birth to your babies is a living testament to the entire world of what God is doing every day in delivering His babies spiritually. That's what I want you to get your mind around. We men have no such testament. That is your unique testimony as mom. That's your identity. And I want to wrap it up with understanding your identity. You have it in a special partnership that we see Eve express in verse 1 of chapter 4. Adam knew his wife intimately, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Notice what she says. "I have had a male child," and I think my translation is unfortunate. It says, "with the Lord's help." That's not what it literally says. She literally said, "I have had a male child with Yahweh." Not with His help, with Him. What was she expressing? She understood what David expressed in Psalm 139. David says this in praying to God, "It was You who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise You because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from You when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth," which was an expression for the womb. "Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in Your book and planned before a single one of them began." You know who grew that baby in your womb? Do you know who put that baby together as it was growing in your womb? It's God Himself.
He doesn't make junk.
And He doesn't make junk. So even in their fallenness, even in the wake of their sinfulness, even having been cast out of the Garden of Eden, upon birthing her firstborn, Eve was able to lift up her head to the gracious face of God and say, I have had a male child with Yahweh. This I have done with my Creator. I said a while ago that every single mom in the world can stand up before every professional and say, you build that, well, I build human beings. She can also add to that, and I do it with God. I do it with God. Right here, ladies, you have to make a decision. Because we have to be honest about the fact there are two totally different trains of thought in the world today regarding not just motherhood, but womanhood in general. And they're irreconcilable. There's the train of thought that says you've got to get out and get your own and get it while the getting's good and keep all you can. There's more you can be besides mom. And then there's the biblical train of thought that says there's nothing more you can be than mom. Because that's your highest dignity from your Creator. You have to decide who you're going to listen to. To the world or to God? We need to remember the lie that Satan told Eve. Do you remember it? When he tempted her to take the fruit, his message to her was very simple. What God has made you is not enough. He knows that the day you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be opened. You will become what? Like God. And it says that she listened and she looked and she saw that it was pleasing to the eye and good for nourishment and good for gaining wisdom, which in the Hebrew meant gaining a higher status of existence. So she reached her hand out, she plucked it from the tree, and she ate it and fell. What God has made you is not enough. You can be more than you are. That is the same lie making its way around the world today. And I hope you're not swallowing its poison. There's a dignity that God has given you that nothing in the world you can gain can ever equal. Am I saying you can't do anything else besides be mom? No. I'm saying you can't do anything more. You cannot rise above it. You cannot surpass it. I already quoted one woman, Magali Laguno is her name. I want to quote her again. She knows this truth, and I want her words to wrap up this message. Here's what she says. Since the creation of the world, a profession has existed which has ensured its survival. It is a profession through which God redeemed humanity, which was immersed in sin and condemned to eternal death. In reality, it is much more than a profession. It is a vocation. Motherhood. From it, all human life springs forth, and we know that, as Mother Teresa said, life is God's love in action. God chose to demonstrate His creative love through mothers. Each child born is proof of that love. Mothers collaborate with God the Creator in the formation of their children's bodies. It is precisely in the womb of a mother where God instills an immortal soul in the first instant that a tiny human being is conceived. Can there be a greater or more dignified vocation than that of being mom? End quote. I want to give you an invitation today. An invitation to step into the joy that you have in the dignity given to you by your Creator. To come and embrace what He has made you to be. to ask of Him, what is this gift you have given me? And then ask Him to help you live out its fullest expression. And you will find if you do that, there's nothing the world has to offer you that can stand up to it. I also put out an invitation for you to step into the salvation provided for you through the womb of a woman. The Bible says it's through the one born of a woman, born of a virgin's womb, that we have salvation, that we can be right with God. What more appropriate invitation can we hand down on Mother's Day than that? He has brought you forgiveness. He has brought you reconciliation with God. He has brought you a home in heaven. I hope you'll reach out and take it. Can we all agree together on that? Let's pray. And Zula, I'll have you come forward. Come up for our invitation. Father, I thank you for Mom. I thank you for my own mom, who stood strong in times of difficulty, in times of poverty, in times of hardship, where she could have handed this off onto somebody else, but she didn't. I'm so grateful as I think back on what we went through and how she endured through it. And when I see your hand of grace that was with us through all of it, I thank you for her. I thank you for these moms in here today. I thank you for the mom that is now grandma here today. I just pray you will help each one, help her understand this dignity you've given, and to walk in the fullness of the joy of that realization. Close our ears to the call of the world and open our ears to the call of God. Help them understand how they can be all they can be in being mom. In Jesus' name we ask it. And if there be one here today that has never come to the one born of a woman, born of a virgin's womb, draw him or her today into yourself. And it's in that one's name that we pray it. Amen.
Page 308 in Heavenly Highway. No, in the back of the
cemetery. Let's stand, please.